Luke chapter number 23, please. Luke chapter number 23. And I'm going to read from verse number 44 through to verse number 46. Luke chapter number 23, from verse number 44 through to verse number 46. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Church, shall we pray? Lord, we bless your name. Thank you, risen Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to gather here again this beautiful morning. Thank you because our gathering is not unto any man, it's unto you, O God. We thank you for the finished work on Calvary. Thank you for rising again from the grave. Thank you for giving us your word to teach us, to direct us, to instruct us in righteousness. Lord, as we gather around your word this morning, we recognize the word in here is not mine, it's not ours, it's yours, Lord. Therefore, let light shine from heaven. Breathe upon your word again. Let it come alive unto us this morning. I pray for every here that is here gathered this morning, whether here in this building or online, those that are going to be catching up with the message thereafter, that, Lord, you anoint those ears to receive this word and those hearts to retain the word of life. Lord, let this word bring transformation to the speaker and to the hearer. Lord, I ask that you anoint me afresh and make my tongue to become like the pen of a ready writer. Let your work flow out of me this morning like streams of living water. Let it be in accuracy and power, in simplicity, in the love, and in the comfort of the Spirit of the living God. Let this word drop as the rain. Let it distill as the dew of the morning. Let it bring refreshing. Let it bring encouragement. Let it bring renewal. Let it bring a freshness into our soul. Let it impart life into the hearts and the lives of everyone present here this morning. So that at the end of today, we'll have every call to say thank you. Because we'll have been much more transformed to the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Because you will do this and much more. Because if we've asked in Jesus' name, and the church shout aloud, amen. You know, I would like to start this morning by just reading out a piece that I came across, not too long ago. I believe it's going to actually help to give you a picture of what I believe the Lord will want me to say to you this beautiful morning. It's actually a piece, I call it a poem, that was written by a man by the name of Paul Siniraj. He happened to be a missionary in India. It reads, "A basketball in my hand is worth about $19. A basketball in Michael Jordan's hand is worth about $33 million. It depends on whose hands it's in. A baseball in my hand is worth about $6. A baseball in Mark McGuire's hand is worth $19 million. By the way, that man happened to be an American, a former American professional baseball career between 1988 and 2001. It depends on whose hands it's in. A tennis racket is useless in my hands. A tennis racket in Pete Sampras' hand is a Wimbledon championship. That man, again, happened to be a former American world number one tennis player. Was a professional, his professional career spanned between 1988 and 2002. It depends on whose hands is in. A rod in my hands will keep away a wild animal. A rod in Moses' hands will part the mighty sea. It depends on whose hands it's in. A slingshot in my hands is a kid's toy. A slingshot in David's hands is a mighty weapon. It depends on whose hands it's in. Two fish and five loaves of bread in my hands is a couple of fish sandwiches. Two fish and five loaves of bread in God's hand will feed thousands. It depends on whose hands they're in. Nails in my hands might produce a birdhouse. Nails in Christ Jesus' hands will produce salvation for the entire world. It depends on whose hands they're in. As you now see, it depends whose hands it's in. So put your concerns, your worries, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, your families, and your relationship in God's hands. Why? Because it depends on whose hands they're in. This morning, I would like to bring a word I've titled, Whose Hands Is It In? Whose Hands Is It In? Because it depends on whose hands it's in. What happens to your life? What happens to your hopes? What happens to your dreams? What happens to your aspiration? What happens to your future? Depends on whose hands it's in. If you're joining us for the first time, we are concluding today a message series we started about 7 weeks ago. We've titled it Last Words from Death Row. Basically, we've been reviewing the last statement made by the Lord Jesus Christ before he exited this planet called Earth. And so we've gone over the last 6 words. Today, we are on the last word spoken, the last statement spoken by Jesus on the cross. And this statement has to do with placing his affairs, his life, his spirit in the hands of God. Now, what makes this statement, the 7 statements of Jesus, quite profound? It's not just because of who said it, Jesus. It's also because of when he said it. It was on the cross. It was in the last few hours, last few minutes. In fact, the one we're going to be reviewing today was in the last few seconds of his life. So it depends on who said it. It depends also on when he said it, because those last minutes were when you expect anyone to speak the most precious words in their heart. But it also depends on why he said it. And so over the last couple of weeks, we've been really reviewing why exactly did Jesus make the statement he made, because we know that Jesus was never frivolous with his words. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, were his last words. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, were his last words. I want you to look at what the Message translation. I love the Message translation. This is what it says in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. It said, Jesus called loudly, Father, I place my life in your hands. Then he breathed his last. I'll read that again. Jesus called loudly, Father, I place my life in your hands. Then he breathed his last. Whose hands is it? Now, today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and rightly so. We are excited, not just here, not just here in our church, not just here in Australia, around the world. There's going to be celebration because everyone is excited about resurrection. And of course, we should be excited about it. But may I submit to you on the platform of God's word that resurrection actually took place because of what Jesus did with his life when he was on this side of eternity. He handed it over, he placed it over, as it were, into the hands of his Father. I don't want us to gloss over that, because resurrection actually took its source from the hands into where Jesus placed his own life. And so while we celebrate resurrection, we need to rewind back a little bit and say, ask ourselves this question, in whose hands did he place his life? What happens to your life depends solely on whose hands your life is in. What happens to your future depends solely on whose hands your life is in. What happens to it is in whose hands it's in. Let me rephrase it a little bit differently. What happens to your life depends on whose hands it's been placed, in whose hands you have decided to place it. I'm sure you're probably familiar with this song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." Fantastic song. He's got the whole world in his hands. And that's to talk about the fact that the Lord is sovereign, you know. But more importantly is the fact that we need to know that the fact that God is sovereign does not necessarily mean that he will interfere with the life that has not been placed in his hands. What happens to your future depends on where you have placed your life. I'm saying that finding your life in the hands of God is not just something that happens all of a sudden. It is something that has to happen because somebody has chosen, has made a decision to place its hands in those big hands of the Lord. Now, you may not have control over what happens to your life, but you have control of where you place your life. You have a control of exactly who you entrust your life to. Now, the Bible says Jesus shouted, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Now, that word "commit" is a transactional word. It's an accounting word, you know. It means to make a deposit. It means to give over for safekeeping. You know, in the days of old, when people want to keep, and even if it still happens today, when you want to keep valuables, you know, maybe passed down from generations, you will need to take it from wherever you are, physically go to the bank, you know, and hand it over. Deposit it. In fact, in most cases, they will actually open a safe for you where you would deposit it, you know. So that's the idea behind the word "commit." That word "commit" also means to commend. It means to entrust. But the foundational word means to deposit. "Father, into your hands I deposit my spirit." That's exactly what Jesus said. And that is the reason why we are able to have resurrection, because because of the hands into where Jesus actually plays his own life. As we speak here, now, right now, your life, your hopes, your dreams, your aspiration, your future is in the hands of someone, or is in the hands of something. Now, you have placed those hands or your life, you have placed those life of yours, your life, into the hands of someone or something by your action or inaction. As we speak here, everyone has something in common. Your life, your future, your hopes, your dreams and aspiration is in the hand of someone, or at least is in the hand of something. And you have played a part in making sure that those life of yours is deposited into that hand or into that thing. It may be, for some people, it's actually their life is in their hands, you know. they are keeping it jealously, you know. Their hands is in their hand. For some other people, their life is in the hand of somebody else. It may be a father, it may be a mother, it may be a wife, it may be a, you know, a boss, it may be, you know, a spiritualist, it may even be a pastor, not me, you know. It may be in the hand of somebody or something. Now, for some people, their life is in the hand of things. It's in the hand of drugs. Sadly, it's unfortunately in the hands of alcohol. It's in the hand of sex. It's in the hand of money or career or any of those things. For some people, it's in the hand of certain organization. It may be a school. It may be a temple, a workplace, whatever. But today, I want to encourage you, wherever you have kept your life, outside of the hand of God, will you please go and take it from there and place it in the hand of God? Because resurrection is only guaranteed if those lives, those dreams, those aspirations is kept in the right hands. Now, Jesus has come to this point. It was at the tail end of his life, the last few seconds, I believe, of his life, and he has just one word to say to everyone. Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. Somebody say, so exactly, what exactly does that mean? What exactly does, Father, into your hand I entrust my spirit, I commit my spirit, or I deposit my spirit. What exactly does it mean? What might have been going on in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ at the time he made this statement? I don't want us to begin to, you know, rack our brain and rack our mind to find out exactly what Jesus had in mind, because it's easy. Jesus here is only quoting, you know, from the book of Psalm. So he's only saying something that has been written. So if you were a Jew and were present at the place of resurrection or the place of crucifixion, it will have made sense to you that Jesus was actually, you know, reciting a psalm that was written many years before now by a man named David. It's in Psalm chapter 31. I would like you to turn there, please. Psalm chapter number 31, so that we can gain an understanding of exactly what Jesus had in mind when he said those words, and that will help us bring clarity to what those words might actually mean. Psalm 31, we're going to verse 5, but it's good that we start from verse number 1, because that gives us an idea of what was going on. Now, in you, verse 1, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Now, this is a psalm of somebody who is putting his trust in the Lord. Is the psalm of someone who is putting his entire trust in the Lord. You see that coloring the entire chapter. You see it in verse number 5. You see it, in verse number 6. You see it in verse number 14. This is the psalm of trust. It's a psalm written by somebody who was going through a very difficult time, who was going through some very turbulent period in his life, but whose overall umbrella of what is undergirding his life is his trust in the Lord. So, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me not be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ears to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. I'll come to those words if we've got time later on. Verse 3, for you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Verse 4, pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. So David is there talking about his experience. We don't know exactly what was going on, but we know that this was a turbulent period. It was a troubled time for him. And he's reminding himself, and he's talking to God, you are my trust, you are my hope. I trust you. In spite of all of these things that is going on, I put my trust in you. Verse number 5, into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. This is where Jesus was quoting from. Into your hands I commit my spirit. What's he talking about? David is here saying, I commit my life into your hands. I commit my hopes into your hands. I commit my decision, I commit my life, my affairs into your hands. That's what David wasn't dying here. He wasn't, there is no account to suggest that this was while he was about to give up the ghost. He was talking about his life. Okay, so when Jesus said, into your hands I commend my spirit, or I commit my spirit, yes, he was about to exit earth. He was about to die. It was the last few seconds, if you like, of his life. But he was talking more in general about his affairs, about his affairs, about his life. Father, we've come to this point, and I want to hand over everything about my life into your hands. Why? Jesus is now going into a place. He has never been to this place before. And he knows that it is only his Father that will need to do something about bringing him out of that place. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. Now, the reason why I went into that is because if we get bogged down into beginning to look for what exactly does he mean by spirit, we can get a bit, confused. You know, that word spirit is from the Greek word pneuma. And pneuma means many things. It means breath, for instance. It means spirit. It means wind. It means other things other than, life. But if you bring it into the context of where Jesus was actually quoting from, which obviously would ring bell in the ears of you if you were a Jew, around the cross, listening to Jesus, you would have realized, oh, he was talking about the book of Psalm according to what David said. And so it is in that context that Jesus is talking about in this place. Now, don't make a mistake. There are certain words that mean several things to us. You know, even the word spirit in English could mean many things. I mean, for instance, I could say, I am in a high spirit. You know, but that's different from if I ask you, do you have spirit in stock? That's different if I say, they did not follow the spirit and the letter of the law. I've just used the same word spirit now. But they mean three different things, depending on the context and the way it's used. So when Jesus says, into your hands, I commit my spirit, yes, he's going to be dead in a few seconds. His body is going to go into the grave. And his spirit is going to escape from that body. But Jesus is indeed talking about his entire affairs, handing it over into the hands of his Father, because he knows that if we were to go into that grave without the intervention of his Father, Jesus will still, unfortunately, have remained in the grave till we speak today. Thank God that did not happen, because something happened along the line when the Father, into whose hands he has committed his spirit, did something about the body of Jesus Christ in the grave. That's exactly what happened. Now, I challenge you, people of God, today. The reason why I went into all of this is to challenge you to say, will you please put your affairs into the hands of the person that matters? Will you please put your hopes, your dreams, your aspiration into the big hands of God? Will you, like David, put your trust in the Lord? That's exactly what Jesus is saying. I trust you. It's almost like Jesus is saying, look, I've come to this end. I've done exactly what you have asked me to do. What happens from this point forward, it is in your hands. Father, you deal with it. I put my trust and my hopes in you. Because if you don't show up, I will be there. I'm challenging you, people of God. Take it from the persons that you have given your trust into, your hopes, and your life dreams. Because those people will fail you. It's almost guaranteed. As somebody said, they've never failed. Just give it some time more. Those people will fail you not because they don't want to always be there or they don't want to always provide the support required, but they are just human, limited. They're going to fail you. No matter how close they are, no matter how much they love you, they will fail you. This is the only person, the hand that will never fail you. And into that hand, you need to put your trust. Now, let me say something very quickly here before I move on. Jesus' life was never taken from him. He gave it up. Jesus was not, it wasn't that the people took his life. He gave it up. That's exactly what he says in John chapter 10, verse 18. I have the ability to lay down my life and to pick it up. Great. I have the ability to drop it and to pick it up. And that's exactly what we witness at Calvary. Because Jesus dropped this life, and because of the arrangement of the Godhead, he was so sure that the Father will do something about that grave, that body in the grave at some point. Jesus gave up His life was not taken. I love the way Luke actually explained this to us. You know, Luke was a doctor. You know, he was a physician. So he made certain comments that you need to actually read in between the lines to understand what he's talking about. Now, look at what he says in verse 9. I just want you to quickly see what's going on here. Luke chapter number 36 is the place where we have read, and I'll read that particular verse again, so that you understand what I'm talking about. Verse 46 says, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Now, you see, Jesus shouted, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And the next seconds, he breathed his last. That's not the way people die. Now, by the grace of God, I'm a doctor, and I've witnessed some death, you know. When people die out of trauma, they don't shout this moment and give up the ghost next moment. It doesn't happen like that. Life drains away out of them gradually. It drains out of them gradually. As a matter of fact, you know, in their day and time when they were crucifying people, people could actually stay there for 36 hours before they died. And the reason why they actually adopted this was because it was a slow death. Death, life is taken out of you, you know, gradually. So the way naturally, conventionally, death takes place, especially under a trauma like this, that is obviously covered with hemorrhage, there is bleeding going on, is that the person starts losing his consciousness gradually. And he also starts losing his ability to speak gradually. You don't shout now, and in the next seconds, you're dead. You start saying, "Father!" And then it becomes "Father." And then it's gone "Father." And then die. So Luke, a physician, is saying, the way this man died is different. He shouted now, and he dropped his spirit. Why? He had the ability to pick it up and to drop it. Somebody says, so, but why did he give up the ghost? Last week, what did he say? It is finished. He finished the job. There is no reason to hang over there again. He needed to exit the scene. Hand his spirit to the Father. Daddy, take it up from here. The plan of salvation, make it happen. And that's why when he had already gone, you remember that when the soldiers actually came, there was only one person that was dead at the time they came. Who was it? Jesus. Others were still there. They were still alive. And the elders and the Jews, they were concerned. Why? Because it was going to be evening. Don't forget, all of this process starts at 9 o'clock, 3 o'clock. This was around the time when Jesus was speaking, 3 p.m. And by 6 p.m., a new day will start in the Jewish calendar. They needed to go back home to be able to prepare for Passover. And no dead body should be hanging on the tree. So they went to the authority. You need to do something. Let's take down this body. They were more concerned about keeping the ceremony of the Passover than actually taking note of the fact that they have just killed the Messiah. And so when they came there, they came to Jesus. He was gone. But when they got to the other two guys, they were still alive. But because the Jews wanted their bodies to be packed up, what did they do? They broke their leg. Why? Why did they have to break their leg? I explained to you a few weeks ago when we started that you need those legs to continue to breathe. Because you are in perpetual space of inspiration when your hands are tied and knocked on the tree like that and your feet are together. So each breath, you will need to pull up on both feet in order to be able to take in air and get it out. But once they broke those legs, then there is nothing for them to leverage their body upon, and death will come quickly. So that was exactly what happened. They broke their leg. Jesus gave up his spirit. He gave up his life because he had just finished his assignment. In fact, I love the way John 19 says in verse 30, he says, "I'm bowing down or bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." It's almost like finish the job, bow down head, life goes. But before he did that, he handed his life into the hands that matters. That's what I'm saying. Into whose hand is your life? Why so much confidence in his hand? Why did Jesus have this much confidence in these hands? Why am I asking that question? Because I want the same confidence that Jesus had in those hands to as it were, rub upon you today so that you can begin to have the same confidence in those hands and be able to put your trust in him. Why? Because those hands are strong. Those hands are strong, they are mighty. So they are strong enough to provide support for you. You probably call yourself spineless. You're not courageous enough to do things, to advance in life. But this is a hand that is strong. These hands are strong enough to hold whatsoever you put into those hands. I'm challenging you again this morning. Put your life into those hands by putting your trust in this Father. Those hands are strong, but those hands are not just strong. Those hands are safe. Those hands are safe. They are, if you're looking for a secret place, you know, there are safe places built around across Australia, especially for people who are going through one thing or the other, mostly women, and they call it safe house. If you're looking for a safe place, it's in the hands of the Father. That's where you can put your trust, and you can be sure that nothing can touch you in those hands. Jesus put his hands in the Father's hands because those hands are strong, because those hands are safe. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Psalm chapter 31, where we have read earlier on, you will see what David described the Father has when he was talking about putting his trust in him. He described it as rock. He described it as fortress. He described it as a refuge. Now those are powerful words that describes a place where when you get in there, you are kept safe. That's the hands of God. Now I know the reason why some of us have chosen to keep our life in our hands or in the hands of other people or in the hands of organizations or in the hands of things is because those things are important to us. But the folly of that is that it is in fact the reason for you to keep them in the hands of God. It is the fact that those things are important and precious to you. That's the reason why you need to keep them in the hands of God. Why? Those hands are strong. Those hands are safe. But one more thing. And this perhaps is the most important reason why I believe Jesus put his life in those hands. Those hands are stimulating. Those hands are stimulating. Now, what do I mean by that? That word stimulate comes from the word stimulus. The word stimulus means a thing that arouses activity or energy in someone or something. That's what a stimulus is. It arouses activity or energy in someone or something. Now, Jesus is just about to go into the grave. In the grave, there is no activity, no energy. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10 tells us no activity goes on there, no work, no device takes place in the grave. And Jesus now is about to go in there. But he needs that stimulating hand. He needs that stimulus to come into that lifeless body. He needs that life, we call it in Christian parlance, life to come into that body at some point, and that's why he handed it over into those stimulating hands of God. Now, why am I saying that? I don't know what you hold in your hand that looks weak or that are dead, but I know of a hand into where you can place those things. And if you will be wise enough to put those things into those hands of the Father, I guarantee you life will come into them. Vitality will arise within them. Strength will come into them. Why? Because in the third day, you know, with all of the shenanigans going on, they've already sealed the place. They've already rolled the rock upon on the side. And they were having soldiers all around the place. But they forgot that the Father has a stimulating hand, that the Son had committed his life into those stimulating hands of the Father. And so on the third day, you know, the Spirit of the Lord came into that tomb. The Bible says, if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit shall quicken. That word quicken is an old English word, which means it will give life to your mortal bodies. That's exactly what you need. That's exactly what I need, not just in time and in history, but in eternity. Place your confidence, your trust in those hands. Why? Because it matters in whose hands your hopes and your life and your aspiration reside. What happens to what you are holding, what happens to what is precious to you is determined by whose hands you have decided to place them. And I'm challenging you, people of God, especially if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to come to a point where you realize that your life is too precious, too important for you to hold and to keep. It is not a fool who gives up what he cannot give to obtain what he cannot afford not to have. Your life is precious. The more reason why you need to place it in the hands of the Father. His hands are strong, they are safe, they are stimulating. You know, not too long ago, I was in the bathroom. I was just doing my grooming as I ran up this morning. And, combing my hair, looking at how handsome this man looks, you know. I know you don't believe that, but that's okay, yeah. And it hit me like a thunderbolt that one day, this body will drop. In other words, it will become life. And they will call the doctor. Or maybe they will take me to the hospital. And the doctor will look at my precious wife and say, I'm sorry. He's gone. That experience is not just my own experience. It's going to be your experience at some point if Jesus tarries. And they will put the body somewhere. You know. And they will need to organize a funeral. And some people will come and say nice words. I'm sure you know people don't say bad things about the dead, you know. You know. And some of you will say fantastic words about me, you know. I hope. Well, I hope that those that are gathered here on that day will remember that, oh, by the way, before he passed on, we know something about him. We know that he put his life in the hands of the Father. We know that he trusted the Lord. We know from the conversation that we had with him that he called God his Father. And I hope that that will reassure them, will bring a reassurance in their heart. That the hands into whom this man had placed his confidence and his life is a stimulating hand. That body is never going to be there forever, lifeless. That someday, if Jesus tarries, that body will receive life again and come out of the grave or wherever they have dropped it. It is that hope that I want you to share, people of God. It is that confidence that I want you to share today. It is that assurance that not just only in time and in history, but in eternity, that something is going to happen to your body to join it together with the Father for eternity. And that's why I'm asking you, in whose hands have you placed your life? In whose hands have you placed your dreams? In whose hands have you placed your hopes, your aspirations? In whose hands are your families and your future? Because if it's in any other hand, other than the hand of the Father, it's not the right place to go. It's not the right place for it to be. Will you please be wise enough while you have the opportunity to take it from wherever you have kept it and place it in the hands of the Father? Those hands are strong. Those hands are safe. and those hands are stimulated. Let us pray.